Welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
Hello and welcome back to another episode from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. It's great to have you joining with us again. I'm Neil Harrison and I'm your host for this episode. This week's podcast acknowledges that the experience of the pandemic has been shared globally, and in today's increasingly smaller world, as followers of Jesus, we have the opportunity to be global disciples as never before, playing a part in what God is doing both near and far. We have a responsibility to care and respond in appropriate ways to what is happening across the world. And to do that, we need to be informed about the situation in different countries and how God's mission is being impacted by COVID-19. To hear this insight, I am delighted to be joined by three of PCI's global mission workers, including Diane Cusick in Zambia, Reverend Peter Fleming in Nepal, and Reverend Steve Kennedy in Romania. Thank you for being willing to be part of this conversation today. So our first question really is just tell us a bit about yourself, the country and the culture you're part of, and how you serve there. So let's start with Diane.
Thank you, Neil. As you heard, my name is Diane Cusick and I am a global mission worker based in Lusaka, Zambia. I have been in Africa for about 26 years now, 20 in Malawi, and the last five, almost 6 years here in Zambia. I'm working here with the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian Synod of Zambia, the same church as I worked with in Malawi, and I am their early childhood coordinator. So in Zambia, we have, under our church, we have early childhood classes in our primary schools, our community schools, and we also have some church-based early childhood centres. And so my job really is to help the teachers to understand how children learn through play. I really do teacher training and monitoring and also helping with the early childhood committees who run the schools and the congregations. And I also help to sensitise our church leaders so that they understand what early childhood is all about and also how they can support the early childhood centres in their schools and their congregations. So it's all about learning through play and being sustainable in that by using rubbish for play materials and things like natural seed pods and offcuts of wood, things like that.
Thank you, Diane. I'm Peter Fleming, Presbyterian minister for quite a number of years in both the Republic of Ireland and also Northern Ireland. But this last 3.5 years, I've been working as a global mission worker in Nepal. Currently, I am actually back in Northern Ireland due to the pandemic, and I've been here for quite a long time now, but still hoping to get back to Nepal as soon as is possible. Nepal is a small country struggling with lots of challenges and limitations, very, very tough terrain, very difficult to live there and make a livelihood just because of the literal condition of the country. Surrounded on both sides by two of the world's most populated countries, China and India. But it's also a country full of the most wonderful, friendly, resourceful people, as well as a huge amount of beauty. I'm working with United Mission to Nepal. My job title is an advisor in integral development or integral mission, sometimes also called holistic mission. So I'm involved with local communities, particularly church communities, encouraging them to serve and love their neighbour, to be, as Jesus said, salt and light in the community, and encouraging the church and church leaders and Christian people to just be outgoing, generous people, living for the good of others rather than grasping for themselves. So that's the main focus of my work. And it's linked with development work that United Mission to Nepal have been doing for many, many years now.
Well, I feel like I'm a bit of the newbie on the block. I'm Steve Kennedy. I am neither a long-term Presbyterian minister nor a long-term global mission worker. I was ordained as recently as the 23rd of December, and we arrived in Cluj in Romania on the 29th of December. So I'm looking forward to listening to the wisdom that I'm going to get out of this podcast. It'll be great. As I say, I'm Steve, and along with my wife Rosie and our two girls, we're in Cluj-Napoca in Transylvania, in Romania, in northwest Romania. Romania, and in particular Transylvania, is a place where many nationalities and ethnicities live alongside each other. And one of the larger groups here is the Hungarian population, and that's who we're working with. We're working within the Hungarian Reformed Church, the PCI's partner in the region. We serve in an outreach ministry from a particular congregation, the Tokos congregation. Tokos has for some time had links beyond the Hungarian population. They do simultaneous translation of their services into both English and Romanian. And is one of those congregations that is always trying to traverse boundaries and build bridges amongst different communities here. In particular, what they've invited us to do is to work in an outreach ministry to the international community. Cluj is a university city. There would be around 100,000 students at any given time during the academic year. It's also known as the Silicon Valley of Romania. So many people would travel here for work purposes as well. And I suppose being on mainland Europe, there's a lot of links, obviously, and movement of people. So there's about 14,000 non-Romanians registered and living in Cluj. And the goal of the ministry that we're involved in, we're working under the name of Cluj Christian Fellowship, is to reach that international community for the gospel. Day to day, it's very much the role of a minister, preaching, pastoral visiting, teaching, organizing prayer, organizing fellowship. But we're very much finding our feet here a little under 6 months.
Thanks, Steve, and thank you, Diane and Peter, for this podcast. We wanted a good spread of both geography and experience, so I think we have that on board here. So let's move on and hear and just get a little bit more of an update and insight on where things are in your particular context. We are all in the same storm, but in different boats, is a statement that has been used to describe the shared experience of the pandemic. In what ways has the boat been different in your country in comparison to our experience across Ireland? And how has your area of mission been impacted? Let's start with you, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. Romania is a fascinating country, which has been coloured by a number of waves of history across the last centuries. And the most recent of those was a period under communism between 1947 and 1989, when the revolution took place. And I think it's at that stage, really, that Romania emerged from behind the Iron Curtain and came into the consciousness of many people in the West. One of the results of communism is that there is a legacy of a significant bureaucracy, but there is also a legacy of generally responding well to what is at times perceived as a more authoritarian style of government than we would have in the UK. So when rules have been applied during the pandemic of travel and masks and curfews, people, I think, have on the whole responded very well and quite positively to those. We arrived at the tail end of last year in December, and so I think we missed the worst of the restrictions. Certainly by the time we got here, masks were compulsory outside of our own home or car, and there was an overnight curfew in place between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m., I can tell you that had very little effect on me whatsoever. But regarding mission and our ministry in particular, we're a fledgling fellowship that is really only setting out. And so the crucial first step is building connections with the international community. And they simply have not been as visible as they normally would have been. Tourism has been significantly restricted. Movement of people has been limited. The majority of the city's 100,000 students have been studying online. The usual festivals and gatherings, all those connecting points that we were so looking forward to, have really just not been there. So I think that's perhaps been the most striking impact of the pandemic on our mission and our work here, simply finding it hard to connect into our mission field to make those new relationships that we need to.
Thanks, Steve. Diane?
Yeah, well, here in Zambia, we haven't actually been hit as hard, probably, as you have in the UK. But having said that, the last 3 weeks here, cases are rising rapidly. And today, as I speak, hospitals are inundated and we're actually running out of oxygen. So things are coming here now that we never had during the last year. Having said that, last March, our schools did close whenever we got the first cases of COVID in Zambia. They closed all the schools, they closed all the churches. Most of the airlines stopped coming here, so we were basically stuck in this country. So obviously tourism also is a big factor in Zambia for the economy. And because we had no tourists, a lot of the lodges within the national parks have actually closed down. So we've had a lot of economical challenges. Schools were closed, so I basically had nothing to do for about 6 months. The schools opened again at the end of September. But during that time, I was able to make two different manuals for our teachers so that at least whenever schools opened and we had more training, we had something to work from. I tried to have an early childhood development board meeting during the time we were closed through Zoom, but it didn't work. We had three attempts and it didn't work. The network was not good enough, so we just gave up. And in April this year, we were able to have one face-to-face, which was great. In terms of vaccines here, we have a population of 19 million in Zambia. To date, through the COVAX scheme, we have received 228,000 vaccines, which means 114,000 people have been vaccinated, and that's all. And this is why I think at the minute there is a big issue within the country, because nobody's been vaccinated and the cases are rising like crazy. So it's a challenging time for us here, and I wouldn't be surprised within the next couple of weeks if we're closed again, to be honest.
Thanks, Diane. Peter?
Thank you, Diane. Nepal also has been fairly good at keeping a lid on the pandemic for most of the time, partly because initially they started a very strict lockdown. And I was in Kathmandu at the time, and for 3 months or so, I hardly went out the front gate. And that was very, very strict. But I think it did manage to keep a lid on everything. Sadly, over more recent times, it has really taken off, and there's been tremendous pressure on the hospitals and some terrible stories of great shortages. Oxygen is the big issue. And the hospitals have been really, really struggling just to keep up with that and to supply the needs. The death rate has not been as high as many, many places. But actually, other problems have come to the fore. For example, huge proportion of the population, they're daily wage earners. So when there's lockdown, there's no work. And that literally means there's no money. And people are living from hand to mouth. And so there's lots of hunger. I was involved with trying to ensure a provision of food for all kinds of groups of people. Lots of mental pressures as well. Pressure on family life. It's been a sad feature of life that there are abusive relationships in Nepal, as there are everywhere in the world. And then sadly, many people were actually locked in their home with an abusive husband or father, and that was a problem. Hospitals really struggling in many practical ways, and not least the fact that actually people were afraid to come to hospital because they thought they were maybe going to catch the infection. And so a much higher proportion of women were giving birth at home, and of course that then had all kinds of difficulties in child labour and childbirth. Again, another factor, a huge proportion of male workers work abroad in India or in the Middle East. And when the pandemic really began to strike, people wanted to come home. And large numbers of people, I mean tens of thousands of migrant workers came back, some of them bringing the virus with them. But also there was a terrible lack of facilities for them, say, at the border with India. And thousands of people were being locked up, more or less, in places forced to quarantine for a period of time. And the reality is some people got the disease while they were in quarantine. So all those difficulties, as far as the work of UMN and my work is concerned, we had to drop many things and refocus on trying to bring relief because of the pandemic. And so a huge effort went into supporting our hospitals, two hospitals, and also in the different areas, the cluster areas, as we call them, where we work, six different areas. A big effort went into procuring materials, PPE, etc., and then trying to distribute that along with food as well. So lots of impacts because of the pandemic in Nepal.
Thanks. It seems like many of the issues, I suppose, are similar in some way: family, health issues, economic implications, stresses and struggles around getting the vaccine, but yet they're so much more acute in places and contexts where people are just more vulnerable. So thank you for giving that picture there. I think it's really helpful. As we begin to kind of look a little bit more on some of the positives or some of how things have adapted, they do say that necessity is the mother of invention, but how have you or others in your ministry had to be flexible and adapt in order to continue your work of service? Have any things developed throughout this time that have maybe been a blessing to the ministry? I'm going to start with you, Peter.
Well, necessity is indeed the mother of invention, and I'm very pleased to be answering this question first, because I guess the other two will say very similar things. Who knew about Zoom before the pandemic? But we have all learned very, very rapidly to lead online meetings of one kind or another, either through Zoom or Microsoft Teams. It has been very difficult at the same time. It's been possible to have meetings, and yet those meetings have been more difficult than face-to-face meetings. For me, also, when I came back to Northern Ireland, there's then a huge time difference as well. So that sort of made life really quite stressful, in fact, and exhausting, sometimes very early morning meetings for me. But it has been wonderful to be able to keep up with colleagues. Just this morning, I spent 2.5 hours in a meeting with about a dozen or 15 folk, and then immediately followed on with another one-to-one meeting with my closest colleague. So thankfully, all of that has been possible. I've also felt I've got closer to some staff, strangely, through this period of time. More one or two that I wouldn't have worked so much with previously, but because of the stresses and strains of life during a pandemic, we've set up a little staff support group. I'm part of that, and I'm working with some of the other Nepali UMN workers on that. And so that's been a good thing, and I've really appreciated that.
Thanks, Peter. Steve?
Peter, I think I can safely echo that from the point of view of congregational life and developing skills online and all kinds of things that we have, I'm sure, all experienced right across the PCI and in various different global mission contexts. I think the thing that has been a little bit unique for us in our ministry is actually our whole ministry is new. And I think that's maybe something that has come out as quite surprising in many ways. And we think quite an encouragement to the local congregation that we're working under. There's not many congregations in the last 18 months that have started a new ministry, a new monthly service, new things for gathering. Actually, what we've really been doing is closing things down and finding out ways to maintain what we've been doing, maybe in a restricted fashion. So it's been really interesting to have actually been part of starting something new. Our first service was held in November, a couple of months before we got here. And then we've been working on building that and seeing new people come along and being able to develop maybe new approaches to some of our worship. And we've really appreciated the courage of the leadership here in the church being willing to take that on at this time. We're excited to see where that might go.
Thank you for that. From both of you, I'm a bit different here in Zambia because Zoom has not been a big part of my life, except for maybe contacting PCA or contacting family, because network across the country is really not very good. So it's been a real challenge that way. But whenever we talk about adapting, I've been working more from home and just phoning schools. But one of the biggest blessings, I think, for me and for one of our schools during this pandemic has been in one of our rural schools. It's at a church, and the church had no running water and there were no toilets. There was one adult toilet, which is a pit latrine, and the hole was very big. So children were really scared to go there in case they fell down. So the Ministry of Health had to come and check all of the premises to see if it was safe for the school to open again. And whenever they came, they said, no, you can't open unless we have running water and unless you have some child-friendly toilets at the church. And so now, if you go today, you'll find they have a tap at the school and they're in the process of building toilets. So for me, that's been the biggest blessing during this pandemic.
Thanks, Diane, and thanks to all of you for those updates as well. Sticking with you, Diane, can you share an encouragement and a challenge that you are experiencing, either personal or in your ministry, that might help our listeners to be praying for you at this time?
I suppose the biggest encouragement for me is that even though I can't be in contact with teachers, that they're still going on with the work as usual. And they're ploughing ahead and being creative and using all the things they can use to help the children to learn. But also something that maybe I should also highlight is that during the time of when we were closed, I heard Peter talking earlier about abuse in families. We had a lot of child abuse happening here during that time. Early pregnancies has risen dramatically because of the time schools were closed. So that's been something that I think we need to keep praying about, because it's still happening even though schools are open again. And I suppose for me personally, the biggest challenge I have had when we have been staying at home is loneliness, because I'm here on my own. I see nobody unless I try to Zoom somebody or call them, you know. And to me, it's quite a challenge when you see you go for a week and you don't speak to a person. It can be quite a lonely time. So really, that's my biggest challenge.
Thanks, Diane. Peter?
It's I think, a lot easier to list off the challenges than the blessings. But actually, I actually have had some encouragements from the example of others. We're working with great uncertainty. We're here in Northern Ireland, wanting to get back to Nepal, not able to at the present time due to pandemic and some other reasons. And we're having to accept that and having to accept the uncertainty and just leave matters in the Lord's hands. UMN are having a real difficulty getting agreement with the government on the next 5 years of work. This is something that has happened every 5 years ever since UMN began, that the government oversee everything, keep an eye on everything, and want to set agreements in stone every fifth year as to what we will be doing. The uncertainty of that, then there's a knock-on effect, because if that agreement doesn't happen, I will not get a visa. And so there's that uncertainty. There's the uncertainty of the pandemic and increasing infection levels at the present time. And all of it leads to us not knowing really what lies ahead at all. But arising out of that is the encouragement. And I have been encouraged just watching and observing some of our colleagues and how they're dealing with the uncertainties. In particular, those who are involved with trying to talk with the government authorities, I have just detected often a lovely Christ-like attitude, that although one frustration after another gets thrown up and different problems come, I've just noticed people approaching this, not giving vent to frustrations, but just trying to represent Jesus Christ in a good and positive way. And that has actually spoken to me, because I've felt I've been champing at the bit because of one frustration after another and could get annoyed, and of then thinking, well, no, is that really the right attitude to be taking? So that has encouraged, stroke challenged me just about my own personal attitudes.
Thanks, Peter. Yeah, I think we have found a number of encouragements, even in coming into a context, obviously, that is a new ministry and in a situation of restriction. But we find a number of encouragements in, I suppose, surprising areas of ministry, partly serving within the Hungarian side of the congregation that we're working out of, some opportunities for me to preach, some opportunities for both me and Rosie to take a Bible class group and to do some work with them, some opportunities that come up for Rosie to help a couple of older teenagers with their preparation for their English exams. So we've been really encouraged, I think, by some of those different unexpected opportunities. And I think one of the most unexpected is that we've made a connection with an American pastor who has a small church here, and we've been able to attend, and I've preached a couple of times in a Romanian congregation rather than a Hungarian congregation. So that's just been a really interesting connection and a different area of ministry that you weren't expecting. I think one of the biggest challenges that we have dealt with over the last while, in a way, has also been an encouragement. We arrived, as I said, at the end of December, and Romania can get quite cold in the winter. I think it got down to about minus 12 come the middle of January. And in the middle of January, I unfortunately had a fall in the snow. A very simple thing to have happened. I slipped in the church car park, but the result of it was actually knee surgery at the beginning of March, on a badly torn meniscus and a partially torn anterior cruciate ligament. Not what we expected 2 weeks into ministry. And also, I think, something that concerned us, because one of the things we've been very aware of in coming to Romania is that the Romanian healthcare system is largely acknowledged as one of the poorest in Europe. And we were just very concerned as to what that then might look like. But actually, it has been a great source of encouragement in a real practical sense, because I have learned more about the Romanian healthcare system in the last 3 months than I think I ever would have learned. And that has actually been a real encouragement, because the care has been great and the way we've been looked after has been fantastic. But it's also amazing about what God does through these challenges. And there's a couple of areas of ministry that have opened up actually through contact with my surgeon. He teaches within the English language stream of the medical university here and is going to connect me with some of the international students that he works with. And there's also some possibilities that may be opening up just through conversation with him into what chaplaincy opportunities there may be within hospitals here as well. So, you know, we say that challenges come across our path and God always has purpose in them. But I think we have seen that in a very, very real sense in the last 2 or 3 months.
That is encouraging, Steve. So, like, thanks for sharing that. And some of those points for prayer, I think, will be useful for people. That idea of new relationships, the challenge of uncertainty, rising cases, loneliness, and new opportunities and blessings that are coming through some unexpected and albeit unfortunate incidents for you, Steve. But thanks for sharing those. Thinking corporately now, what does global mission involvement at its best look like in a congregation? And what advice can you give to congregations back here to grow their involvement in global mission? I'm going to stay with you, Steve, for this one.
Yeah, I think we're really thankful that we are part of a denomination that has had global mission at its heart right from its inception, and has this ability to send global mission workers as a denomination to do work that a single congregation might not be able to sustain. I think one of the difficulties of the pandemic is that I think for many of us, our worlds have contracted. I think in some ways that has been good. I think it has given us time to enjoy with family. I think it has given us time in some cases to take up hobbies that we didn't think we were ever going to have time to take up. And I think in some ways our world's contracting a little bit has maybe allowed us to put time into those things that are closest to us and in many ways most important. But I think also there's a bit of a danger in our world's contracting in that we don't look beyond the fence too much. So I suppose what the advice that I would give to any congregation is just always keep your head up. keep looking around. Certainly serve your congregation and serve it well, and serve your local community and serve it well. But also just remember that God's world is a big world and he is active the whole way across it. And I think we're only beginning to scratch the surface to see the things that God has been doing through this pandemic. I think we're seeing it in little pockets, but I think we have much yet to see of what God has been achieving across his world through this very difficult circumstance.
I would echo actually what Steve has just said, because here in Zambia, I think part of the thing I really struggle with is that the Zambian church is not a missional church looking out to other countries as PCI is. They can be quite insular, and possibly that's because they've never had the opportunity to go outside their own borders. But I think we are called to be a missional people, no matter where we are in the world. And I'm very thankful because PCI are well organized in congregations. We do use the monthly bulletins that we all of us write, and also our the digital dispatches, video clips that have been sent out have been well used. And for me, I think I've been in global mission for a long time, and I think relationships are key. Staying in touch with one or two congregations can really help them, because they learn a lot about the country that you serve in, but also can help me or the person serving in the country. Because there are a few times during my ministry when I have not been able to share some things with the whole global church because they're very sensitive. But I can send those prayer points to one or two congregations, and I can find that they can pray really for that and keep it confidential. So to me, relationships are key in all that we do in global mission.
Yeah, I would say be specific to any congregation. It's impossible for us to have a really genuine, deep interest in everybody and everything. But there may be people in your congregation who have a special interest in Africa or Asia or Europe or wherever, and actually use that. God has put those people there for a reason. So use that and take an interest in certain types of ministry or certain individuals and follow those up. Get yourself informed, learn what's going on, and really support those people. And as Diane has just said, you know, digital dispatches and monthly bulletins are excellent resources for any congregation or any individual to use. And I know of recent times it has just encouraged me that one or two people have spoken to me just at random and said, oh, yes, we saw your digital dispatch. And that's just lovely for me and for Jane to know that these things are being used. And actually benefited from. So I think that's the one thing I would say is don't try to do everything or know everything. Just be specific, but follow it through to a deeper level. And you've heard that before.
That's great. Some really helpful advice for any congregations that are listening in there about how they can just grow their own involvement in global mission. Thanks for sharing that. We always finish our episodes with a look into the Bible. And so I'm going to ask each of you to share a verse or a passage of scripture that refines and shapes your thinking around our need to be involved in global mission. So I'll start with you, Peter.
Thanks, Neil. As a Presbyterian minister, I have probably on hundreds of occasions read 1 Corinthians 15, all about the resurrection and eternity and heaven, etc. But actually, I often did not read the very last verse of that lengthy chapter. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says this: "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain." So, and it just struck me probably a bit ago, that Paul has spent 57 verses talking about the resurrection and talking about heaven and eternal life. And at the end of it, then he says, therefore, and he urges them to be faithful and consistent in their service, because their efforts in the work of the Lord are not in vain. And that is because of eternity. Eternity is not an escape from this world. And that just struck me very, very forcefully, that in what we're called to do, we must never forget eternity. We must never forget the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the freedom that that brings us. And because of that, then we don't sit around waiting for heaven to come, but we actually give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And that has shaped my thinking, that I want to be involved with practical, down-to-earth things. But my reason is because of the resurrection and because of the wonderful promises of eternal life for us all.
Thanks very much, Peter. Steve?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we've really enjoyed about the Hungarian church over the last few months is they are very aware of the liturgical calendar. I think perhaps maybe more so sometimes than we are in the PCI. So they will talk about Ascension Sunday. They will have a week's worth of services in the run-up to Pentecost. And we've really been enjoying that, I think, over the last few months, enjoying that liturgical rhythm and some of the focus and reminders of the church calendar. Because we're a new community of faith as well, as this outreach from the Hungarian congregation, we've actually been spending some time in the beginning of Acts, because we thought, let's look at a portion of scripture that talks about a new community of faith and what it means to be witnesses in the city. And as a city congregation, that's been a real focus for us. And I think the verse that I keep coming back to over the last number of months has been Acts 1 and verse 8, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love the word will in there. You will be my witnesses. It's not might be, not could be, it's will be. And I think in some ways there's a bit of a challenge in that for us as to whether we're being good witnesses or not. But I love the global scope. I love the acknowledgement that some of us will be witnesses in our city and in our home community. Some of us will be to our region, our Judea. Some of us will be to our enemies, our Samaritans, the people that we least connect with, and some of us will be witnesses to the ends of the earth.
And the last word for you, Diane.
Thank you very much, Neil. I've actually been thinking a lot about this, because the whole Bible revolves around mission and God's mission and our mission, and there are so many passages of scripture that you could really point to. But I was thinking there are two that I have chosen. The first one is Psalm 96, 1 to 3. And if anybody knows me, they know that I like singing. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. So it's about singing and also telling people about the Lord every day. And then the second one is John 13, verses 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And to me, that really resonates here in Zambia, because we are a tribal nation. There are 73 different tribes in this country, and there's a lot of animosity between the different tribes, and it's all about loving one another. And if the church can show that love of Jesus to the people, no matter what tribe or religion they come from, then they're sharing the love of Jesus and building the kingdom of God. And for me, that's what it's all about.
Those are some great reminders from God's word to his people as we seek to be faithful global disciples in these days. That idea of standing firm, giving fully to the labour of the Lord, not in vain. The idea that we are to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And then that lovely encouragement there that I just picked up in terms of singing to the Lord, tell of his salvation every day. That was just wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing those with us. And thank you, Diane and Peter and Steve, for joining us from different parts of the globe to give an update on your ministry and share your insights and experience of how we can be more involved in global mission. I find it very helpful, and I'm sure that our listeners will have too. Before we finish today, let me draw your attention to some resources and opportunities you might find useful at this time. On the homepage of the PCI website, you will see the Refined Fanning the Flame page. Click on that and you will find a wide range of resources and information to help with all aspects of your congregation's life and witness. You will find information on resuming church life and activity in the Together Again tabs, and there are a range of blogs and on a variety of issues that you might find helpful. There you will also find the Digital Dispatches tab, where you find a range of short clips produced by PCI's Global Mission workers for use in your congregations, and we would commend them to you. Please do have a look at this information and pass it on to others in your congregation who might be interested. All of this can be found at www.presbyterianireland.org. But that's all for this episode, and we hope that you'll join us next time as Rick will be exploring rest and refreshment for ministry leaders. Until then, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.